Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Shout out to Ahmet, who's hanging out in the tent. Brought a misting fan. It's pretty damn impressive. Between the new tent and new fan, we're living out here, Landfill. It's like I'm on vacation. To help us celebrate our vacation, we're going to talk to our boy, Henry McKenna. Old Hank was once my intern 100 years ago. He's now an AFC East reporter for Fox Sports. He's covered the Patriots for all sorts of outlets in Boston. Henry, what's going on, man? How are you, buddy?
Yeah, JP, it's good. Yeah, I learned a thing or two by editing you, like, what was it? It must have been like almost 10 years ago, like 8 years ago. It's crazy.
It's definitely a while ago, man. And great to see the new gig with Fox. So they got you covering the whole AFC East, dude. So I don't know. We can start and go north to south, maybe. I know that you've been covering the Patriots for a long time, so you know the organization well. From what I'm reading up there, it looks like they're maybe having some offensive struggles in camp, and I know folks are excited about Mac Jones, but it's unclear about play calling and all sorts of stuff up there. What do you make of the Patriots so far?
Yeah, I think it's definitely fair at this point to say that the offense is struggling. It's been multiple practices where they enter 11-on-11 sessions, and you know, as most NFL fans probably know at this point, that's the most valuable time of every practice. There's lots of position drills, there's 7-on-7 drills, but 11-on-11 is really where we can evaluate the team properly, and that's actually where the offense has been at its very worst. The 7-on-7 drills are a little bit better, and the individual drills are actually kind of impressive for the offense, at least, and 11-on-11 is where it all seems to fall apart, and so that obviously points to the five guys that you throw in the mix, offensive line, or the four guys. So if there's a live pass rush and that's throwing stuff off, then maybe you've got an offensive line problem. And the Patriots have a new offensive line coach in Matt Patricia, who obviously came over a few years ago from Detroit. He's also, it seems like, kind of the de facto offensive coordinator. The Patriots didn't name an offensive coordinator, but he's kind of taking the lead on play calling. So there's a lot of questions there. Which is like, how is the power structure working, and is it working? Because it doesn't really seem to be yet.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wanted to dig into that a little bit. I get that it's Bill Belichick, and he's arguably the greatest coach of all time, and he has always kind of bucked convention and done things his own way. But Matt Patricia was his D coordinator for a long time. Then got the job in Detroit where he hired people to run the offense and ran the defense. Now, all of a sudden, Matt Patricia is the offensive coordinator up there. Like, does it get to a point, like, you know how rock stars kind of can do whatever they want in their career and they're making great music and everything, even the weird stuff they do, people are like, man, that's cool. But at a certain point, their music starts to suck and they put out like their 8th album and nobody's buying it. And then when they dress up like a lizard, everybody's like, yo, what is this guy doing? Like, are we close to that stage with Belichick up there? What is he doing right now?
Yeah, I think there is a very fine line between challenging the status quo and making these quirky but eventually successful decisions and getting into the territory of hubris. I actually wrote a column about this on Fox Sports, so the listeners should check it out. It was questioning whether this triumvirate of coaches, none of whom have a lot of offensive experience, and so I said Matt Patricia and Belichick's got his hands all over this offense, and Joe Judge is the third guy. And obviously Joe Judge is infamous for that awful failure of a play where he had, you know, Daniel Jones kneel the ball, and then it was a mess. That whole
Didn't Joe Judge come up as a special teams guy?
Yeah, so Judge was special teams. In his final year with the Patriots, he actually did special teams and receivers, but that was like the first year that N'Keal Harry was there, and N'Keal Harry has been a bust. That was the year Mohamed Sanu came in for a second-round pick, and that didn't really work out for a trade. So he doesn't have a super strong resume for the offensive side of the ball, and he helped out with offense in New York, and obviously that offense wasn't super successful. The credentials aren't really there, and it would be fine if the offense was clicking right away and everyone was like, oh, Belichick's doing it again. But now it's really complicated because he's got this leadership brain trust, and the product on the field is far from being there. So at what point do they have to think about doing new stuff? The thing I actually haven't said yet that's important to know is they're rebuilding this offense. They're copying what Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan are doing. They're taking bits and pieces of those other offenses and they're incorporating it, and they've simplified their offense. So this isn't Tom Brady's offense anymore. They're building something new, and they've got a strange group of people doing this sort of restructure on offense.
Yeah. We're talking with our friend Henry McKenna from Fox Sports, covers the AFC East. You can follow him at McKenna Analysis. Weird things in Foxborough, yet there's a ton of excitement coming from the Jets. What have you seen with the Jets? How good is Zach Wilson? They got some interesting pieces. Are you buying this, man, the Jets are a sleeper talk?
No. I can't buy it. Look. Zach Wilson is, he may be entertaining, both on the field and off of it, but he is not a particularly impressive quarterback, I don't think. I mean, his prospects after year one didn't wow me, and sounds like he's struggling in training camp a little bit. For example, today, he took 5 sacks on a 6-play span. Now, obviously, that's in part because his offensive line is messy, and Mekhi Becton, their right tackle, he seems to be on the verge of being declared out for the year, or at least a substantial portion of it. This team is just too young, and Zach Wilson kind of needs, and we'll probably get to this, but kind of needs what Tua Tagovailoa has in Miami. Like, Wilson needs a group to really elevate him and develop him, and it's kind of the opposite. His supporting cast is a who's who of, like, young and high potential players. I just don't know if he's the guy that will be able to get the most out of that offense. And I think they're going to need at least one more year before it all kind of comes together.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And I think the Jets are an interesting team because New York is such just a major media market. And because there are so many kind of national football analysts that grew up as Jets fans, I feel like the Jets can get hyped pretty quick, and I kind of think it's happening. And I don't know. I like Zach Wilson a ton at BYU. I think there's a big transition from running that to what he needs to do now for the Jets to get good. Before we go to the obvious favorite in the division, let's go south. Let's go down to Miami. Talk about the Dolphins. We're talking with our friend Henry McKenna, covers the AFC East for Fox Sports. So, obviously, the headliner is the trade for Tyreek Hill. Everybody's really excited about that. Hill's an incredible ball player, one of the fastest wideouts we've seen in a long time in the NFL. he will tell anybody that's listening that Tua is better than Patrick Mahomes, which is obviously laughable. What do you make of the Dolphins this year? Because, you know, they were able to string some wins together last year after a really poor start. They new coach, young guy coming in from San Fran and Mike McDaniel. What's your vibe? What's the vibe check in South Beach?
Yeah, I've been burnt before by getting too excited about a Dolphins team. Whereas, like, the Jets, you can kind of just bet every time that the hype isn't real. But Miami, you can kind of, like, toss and turn. And I kind of think they've got something really cool going on. Maybe Tua is highest end a game manager, probably is highest end a game manager. But what they've done is set him up with weapons that are so good that he can't really mess it up. I mean, he actually is a pretty efficient deep ball passer, even though there's a small sample size there. He's actually, you know, among quarterbacks that have thrown 150 more attempts in 2021, he was the third best completion percentage in the NFL on 20 yards or more passes. Wow, that was a real mouthful. Sorry. But basically the point is he's a lot better at throwing deep balls than you think. And I think you can see that translating really nicely for the weapons they have. Jalen Waddle, obviously, speedster. And then, you know, you mentioned Tyreek Hill, even Mike Gesicki, even Cedric Wilson, the guy that they signed in free agency from the Cowboys offense. He was the third receiver that really broke out at the end of the year last year. So I like what they have on offense, and I think the defense is good as well. You can really see that team being built properly. And with, you know, Mike McDaniel being seemingly a sort of a wunderkind, I could see them potentially jumping past the Patriots this year. What with the Patriots sort of having wheels fall off at this point in the season.
Sure. Before we get to the Bills and just the juggernaut of offense they're putting together, what about this tampering stuff with the Dolphins and Brady, and then Brady quasi-retiring and then coming back? I mean, I know you covered Brady in Boston for a number of years. Are you surprised by all this? And how does Brady just escape any blame in all of that?
Yeah, so the Brady escaping blame thing is actually a simple answer, but kind of complicated. I talked to the league about it a little bit, and it's really that they in these situations, they focus on the team, not the player. And whether that's right or wrong, they have little precedent of punishing the player for tampering. It generally goes to the team. So Brady kind of gets through unscathed through precedent, even though, as the league pointed out, this is one of the most egregious examples of tampering in the history of the league or recent history. And it's kind of over the most important player that's ever played the game. So the stakes were really high.
Right.
And it's certainly strange. It goes back to when Seth Wickersham, I don't know how versed non-New Englanders are on this saga, but back in a few years ago, Seth Wickersham kind of blew open the strained relationship between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. It was years before Brady left New England. It was right around the time the Patriots were heading into the Super Bowl against the Eagles, I believe, which they lost. And nobody really believed it. People didn't think that this was legit, that Brady, that sort of Wickersham was fabricating this blow up that was happening. And then as the years went on, as the months went on, it was clear that there was tension and that Brady wanted a bigger contract. He wanted to retire with the Patriots, and Belichick was unwilling to give it. Belichick wanted Brady to stay year to year because he's Belichick and he's very conservative with older, potentially fading players. So
right.
It's bizarre slash, you know, soap opera drama level stuff that Brady is going behind the Patriots' back before he's a free agent to sit on the yacht of Dolphins, a division rival, Dolphins owner, Stephen Ross's yacht, to like, you know, get some afternoon tea or like drink a beer or whatever they were doing. Probably champagne. I don't know. The rich and famous probably have their own special afternoon beverage. And they're chilling there talking about a potential pairing. And that conversation continues into Brady's time with the Buccaneers, which is crazy, too, that he then sort of was backstabbing his second team. It's all interesting.
I believe that he did it again. I don't. There's always so much smoke around Brady decisions that I don't believe Bruce Arians quit because he wanted to move upstairs. And Tom, I think that thing is far more complicated than everybody wants to say it is. We're kind of up against it. We're talking with our friend Henry McKenna from Fox Sports, covers the AFC East. The Bills are obviously the AFC East favorite. They're also the favorite to win the Super Bowl, according to Vegas oddsmakers. How good is Buffalo, and can their defense get stops when they have to?
Yeah, their defense is interesting. Tre'Davious White, the top cornerback, is coming off an ACL injury. He should be back soon. So they're kind of like in flux there. They also lost Levi Wallace. That's a really important and sort of, it's kind of the biggest point of question on the defense, because otherwise, safeties, they're set. Defensive line, they're incredible right now. There's so much buzz about Gregory Rousseau, who's a defensive end they drafted in the first round last year, was kind of like a developmental guy, and he has developed. So put him with Ed Oliver, and you've got this really intimidating front. So the question is, can Kaiir Elam, their first-round pick this year, can he develop into at least a cornerback two, and can Tre'Davious White come back from his ACL and be a cornerback one? That's the storyline to monitor for the Bills, and if it comes to fruition, if it works out in that way, they'll be one of the best defenses in the NFL again. And then on offense, it's kind of like, what I would say for all you fantasy football players out there is draft Gabriel Davis. I'm going to do a feature on him later this week, but he is going to be the second receiver in that Bills offense. And we've seen what the second receiver can do.
Did he go nuts in that playoff game?
Yeah, he went nuts against the Chiefs. So he's kind of their guy. Josh
he had like three
Allen really
TDs, 250 yards or something.
Exactly, yep. So yeah. He came into camp. The only thing that the team could say bad about him was that they were worried that he was working too hard because he would not spend any days on vacation during the off-season. So he didn't take an off-season. He just worked all the way through it, which, like, I don't know. You can argue that that is kind of detrimental for a player. But, I mean, he saw his opportunity to be the second receiver in this offense, and all he did was, like, dedicate himself wholly to that opportunity. I think he gets the job. I think Josh Allen really loves throwing the ball to him. So I expect him to be very relevant in fantasy this year. But
absolutely.
And I think that's like a – yeah, I'll let you wrap it up if that's what you need to do.
Yeah, we got to run. But, dude, I appreciate it. We'll check back with you maybe after the preseason games are over and see if there's any improvement with the Pats and what you think is going to happen. Again, congrats on the new gig, bro. Keep killing it. Everybody give him a follow at McKenna Analysis. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, JP. Take it easy.
All right, that is our guy, Mr. Henry McKenna. Here's what we're going to do. Coming up next, switching gears a little bit, the University of Maryland signed a big-time basketball recruit. Jeff Ehrman covers the Terps better than anybody. We're going to talk about Jamie Kaiser, I believe his name is. Question for you, if you want to win some Nats tickets. Phone lines are open, 800-636-1067. What did I purchase from Walmart yesterday? 800-636-1067. Whoever gets the answer gets some Nats tickets. Don't go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.